It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, the award, internationally award-winning radio segment. Dan Berger, my co-host, of course. Today we're featuring Hook and Ladder, who we have featured times in the past, and I'm a big fan. They do great stuff. And it's a great story, which we're going to hear again today. Dan, introduce our guest officially, and we'll get going here.
Hey, he can take it away. It's Devin again. How are you?
Hey, good to see you both. Thanks for having us on. Always a pleasure to be on the show and talk a little bit about our wines and the region and our story.
Devin's been with the winery several years. The winery has become one of the more popular to visit in Sonoma County. It's out there in Russian River. A pretty nice property out there in the most gorgeous area. It's just really it's lovely. It's sort of what's the name of your street? I forget.
We're on Olivet, so we've got the great little association with Olivet District. Of course, we're involved with Wine Road and also Taste Route 116. So we've got a lot of great neighbors and organizations with events that keep us busy and keep us popular. But we've also been really a locals winery for a long time.
And the Deloach family is still owners. They still have these wonderful acres of fabulous vineyards out there.
Correct, yeah. Cecil's kind of legacy lies, at least in our theme, with his 16 years that he spent fighting fire in San Francisco. He was a tiller on the back of a Hook and Ladder truck or ladder truck. So you'll see the Tillerman, one of our most popular blends out there, in bottle barn, in retail, and that's a reference to his days steering around tight corners of the city.
It's again, give us the history. Cecil and Christine, his wife, the Deloaches.
Absolutely. I think, pioneers of Russian River Valley, there's a lot of people that may claim that, but I think for many years, and really when you go from the mid-70s on up till now, but through the 90s when the Deloaches owned Deloach Winery on Olivet Road, it was one of the absolute main attractions and destinations. And off the air, I was just talking with Dan as we take a sip of our reserve Chardonnay. Deloach Chardonnay was America's Chardonnay under the tutelage of course Cecil and Christine, but also great winemakers like Randy Olam, now with Jackson Family, Bob Cabral, who defined some great wines with William Selyem. There was a real pipeline of some mega rock stars in wine that are now still thriving,
and a pioneering winery out that way, because in a lot of ways, Russian River in those days was considered so cool that it was tricky to make wine. You had some great, these talented people that you just mentioned, Randy Ullum, who's just a star winemaker, and of course Bob Cabral, who did just fabulous work for William Selyem later on. And so this winery really is an outgrowth of some fabulous history in the county, and these wines are wonderful. They're just fabulous wines.
This Chardonnay, it's called Third Alarm. And of course, it's Hook and Ladder Winery, and
of course,
it's a salute to our firefighters.
Correct. This is our reserve label. We have a series of Third Alarm wines. In the case of this Chardonnay, small blended of different vineyards, and our winemaker Jason Deloach, who is carried the torch, Cecil's grandson, our head winemaker. He selects through Chardonnay to create, year to year, one of our most expressive styles of Chardonnay, a light bit of oak meant to integrate and complement the fruit, 35% new French oak and just kissed for 8 to 9 months, depending on the vintage. And you've got yourself, to me, a great representation of what it can be in 2015 with our reserve.
Good year, 2015, right?
Yeah, really nice year. And this goes back literally 30 years ago, this brand, when it was Deloach Chardonnay, it was a gold medal winner way back then, 30 years ago. So this is not exactly a new style. This is a traditional, like America's wine, like you said. It was a long time ago when this whole thing was developed.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that, that really, when you look at Jason and what he the cloth he cut is cut from, it came from being in the vineyards and being around his grandfather and a lot of the grain winemakers that we were talking about, eventually taking an apprenticeship over at Belletto Winery and then coming on board with Hook and Ladder in 2007. And that was actually when I first started at Hook and Ladder and did my first crush with Jason. And it's been awesome to see him kind of define his own style, but also I think carry on with some of the things that Cecil's always loved, a great acidic kind of backbone and structure to a lot of our wines, and yet, you know, some of that creamy, rich, and fruit-driven note that oftentimes has defined California Chardonnay.
This is a 2015 Chardonnay Third Alarm, is the name of it, estate-bottled Russian River. Dan, tell me why I like this so much.
This is your style, Steve. This is this got that creamy, rich, almost slightly buttery, but mostly tropical fruit. It's a great tropical. It's like pineapple and kiwi and all that stuff. And then on top of that, there's a little depth underneath that gives you the sort of inside track to that acidity, which makes it so good with food. So here's the wine that has everything going for it. It's got all the flavors, but then it's got good acidity as well.
Available. Barry Herbst isn't here from Bottle Barn. Still on vacation, but I'm
Bottle
sure.
Bottle Barn might be one of the only retailers that is getting there. They're able to get their hands on just about everything. One of the the best in the business.
Exactly.
But most of this is sold direct to consumer.
It is.
So
okay.
Out of the club and the winery.
HookandLadderWinery.com. Check out the events and wine tastings and you know, the tasting room.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, that's where I've been. You know, I'm a monument when it comes to, a tasting room employee and now in running the hospitality over there. Right on all of that, we're a casual tasting room. It's still a walk-in friendly. We encourage picnics. We're family friendly. We've got bocce and cornhole and always a great place to hang out, buy a bottle of wine, and enjoy, you know, friends. And to me, I mean, it's about a sensory relationship in every sense of the word, and we want that to be tied to a memory. So sensory memory is what's going to make people return, and that can be just them enjoying their family and friends, having a good time, or just really, really getting into the wine. So I think we offer everything in that respect, along with having, you know, shirts up from all over the world, from the first responders that have visited us, and having a really unique kind of ambiance.
And real honest-to-goodness family and community outreach. The wine tastings out there are considered very casual and very fun, but also there's plenty of wines out there in different styles and different varieties that you will not see in some stores. Yes. Because they're just small, off-the-cuff production, and you can only get them really right there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we make, I think, upwards of 28 SKUs at this point. We've got a lot of different varietals. Yes, you need to learn a little bit about a lot of different styles of wine. And I brought, I think, a good mix. Some direct-to-consumer wine tasting room only wines with the Rosé Reserve Chardonnay. But we're also going to try some Pinot Noir, which is one of our number one distributed wines, and definitely something that I think everybody should be able to access here in Sonoma County.
Well, I just love this Chard. Now, you mentioned Rosé. This is a 2017?
2017. So we do a Saunier Rosé, which is a tank bleed style. So we will take this right off of our fermenting Pinot Noir after about 24 hours of skin contact. So that means, you know, when you're doing a style of rosé like this, you know, I think that there's a couple of different things going on. I always kind of describe this to be it's twofold. It does a lot for the differentiation of our different Pinot Noir styles, where we can make a little more skin contact, rich, mouth-driven style of Pinot when we take a little bit of juice off of the Pinot Noir tanks during primary. But we also get to make what is probably as trendy as any wine out there right now, which is a summer light very little, in this case, RS, good acid, bright style of rosé. So this is going to be all about refreshing quality picnic. It's usually only available for about 4 months. We make about 400 cases of it, wow. And it's only direct to consumer.
It's kind of like a halfway between a rosé and a red, because it's got a big mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. It's a red wine mouthfeel. And the first thing I thought of when I smelled and tasted it is, hey, I want some steak tartare with this. This is just beautiful.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, good kind of strawberry notes. Mm-hmm. When you do, again, a rosé like this and you take this off of our Pinot Noir program, it's going to come in at a little higher brick. So this was at 24.5 bricks, and I think it kind of brings in that rich fruit essence and, again, a lot of that kind of strawberry note in the front of the palate.
This is going to be kind of a weird question, but when I was looking at the bottle, it seems – I love the color of this rosé of Pinot, but once it was poured into the glass, it seemed to get lighter in color. I don't know.
I think – first of all, the bottle itself is – full of wine. I mean, your glass doesn't have very much wine at all.
Right,
so
exactly.
You're looking at a less density. But in addition, there is this way. This wine is made a little teeny bit like a red, so it does have that weight in the mid palate. It's not sweet, but what it does is it gives you broad flavors, and that's why I keep thinking about maybe carpaccio or steak tartare or something, because you want to bring out the flavors of some other foods. Even cheeses would work great with this. It's not sweet.
Yeah.
But it's big. It's a red wine style rosé.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. This is kind of what we've honed in on over the last couple of years. We've had great response where you've got that body, that richness, again, that broad flavor profile. And at the same time, there's still a crisp acidity that is going to be refreshing.
That's Russian River all over it, because you couldn't make this in another region.
Dan Lay It Down Burger, I always have to ask, okay, back to the Chardonnay for a moment. Would you lay that down for a year or two?
I think it would, yes and no. I mean, first of all, if you like the fresh fruit flavors of the Chardonnay, this, you drink it now. But if you really like the mature flavors that come into Chardonnay, boy, this one would age in about 2 more years. It's going to take on more body, more richness. And then you don't have to chill it as much, because you're looking at it more like a slightly red wine with no color.
It makes sense.
And it's the same with the rosé. If you bought a bottle of this now and you've lost it and drank it a year from now, you'd enjoy it just as much, but it would be a slightly different wine.
Okay. So basically, drink them now.
Drink them now if you like them that way.
Yeah.
You can benefit. The acids in these wines are so wonderful that you can just push them a little bit and they respond.
We get rosés every week on this show, and this is another great one. A rosé of Pinot Noir from Hook and Ladder. Wow.
Thanks, Steve.
What's the alcohol on this one?
This one should be around 14.1.
Is that high for a rosé, Dan?
Well, not really. I mean, when you start to get to 14.5% to 15%, the alcohols are just clumsy and getting in the way. Right at this stage of the game, you're really looking at a kind of a red wine style rosé, and I like it because of that weight and richness. I don't know that I would want to push this any further than about a year, because then you're starting to lose some of the fruit. But this wine is so fruity right now, it's just delicious.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this is a cold ferment in stainless steel for 4 weeks. It's meant to be enjoyed by the time we release it. And we pretty much release that nowadays right around late February. People start kind of getting into pink wine, and as you hit into barrel tasting and those types of things, those are our preliminary pre-releases to wine club. And then before you know it, it's springtime, and almost everybody wants pink wine.
How many cases of this do you make?
400.
So this is more than perhaps 5 or 7 years ago. You didn't make a lot of rosé early on. Most wineries didn't really get into rosé until fairly recently.
Yeah, we doubled the case production this year, and that was really just to satisfy, to get through a summer with it. The year prior to this, our 2016 rosé of Pinot, 200 cases, that was gone in 2 months.
I believe
so,
that.
And that wasn't, and we didn't even put that into our wine club, which can eat up a lot of wine. It was just strictly on promoting through email and people walking in. And that's how popular. I mean, and you can see that in store, too. It's not just in the tasting rooms. I mean, now you're seeing full displays and shelves that are just lined with rosé. So this kind of resurgence of rosé-style wines has really been in full force over the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's one other thing that most people don't realize, and I think I have to mention something about it, is that with Pinot Noir, red Pinot Noir, being so popular these days, this is an expensive wine to make because you're making use of really expensive grapes to make a pink wine that typically doesn't sell for a lot. I mean, you could, if you made this as a red wine, you could get twice as much money, couldn't you?
What's the price point on this at the winery?
This is 24.
Yeah, but you could get a lot more than 24 if it were red.
I would pay more than 24 for this. I love this rosé.
Yeah, I think, though, Dan, like, and maybe to think about this in just a different way, is that we can also, though, use these sauniers as a technique to differentiate the tiers of Pinot that we make. And so we'll
Let me throw a geek alert here, as we call it. Sonier?
Yes, right. So this is what this is a tank bleed style of rosé.
Sangier is the French term for blood or bleeding.
Right.
And the bleed is actually taking juice off a fermenting tank of red wine.
Of the Pinot.
Of the Pinot Noir.
Right. Yeah.
And just capturing just the delicate flavors and the delicate color.
Right. And so you could use this technique and honestly not even make a rosé. You could do it just to kind of richen the depth, the mouthfeel, or even some of the tannins. Obviously, that's not necessarily something that we associate with Pinot Noir, but oftentimes in Russian River Valley, we are seeing people that want more of a mouth-rich and volume-driven Pinot Noir. So this is kind of, because you're spot on, we could make this as a red wine, and of course it would be retailed a little higher, but for us, it's the type of wine we want to make as a rosé, and it's giving us an opportunity to get a stylistic difference between our pinots.
All right, we're getting close to our break here. It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger today, featuring Hook and Ladder. We love them; they do great stuff, and they're involved in the community. And it's about first responders and firefighters as well. And I want to get a little more into that after the break. But I also want to remind everyone that you can listen to the California Wine Country podcast at calwinecountry.com or any other outlet on your internets that feature great podcasts. And you should join up. What do you call it? Subscribe. I always forget that word. Subscribe. And it doesn't cost you anything. In fact, if you subscribe at calwinecountry.com, Mike DeWald will send you money personally. And you don't have to spend a penny. And every episode, as we say, in the biz of California Wine Country is on all these podcasts. CalWineCountry.com. Start there, but you can get it on Apple Podcasts and everything else, Stitcher, etc. California Wine Country with Dan Berger. And today we're featuring Hook and Ladder Wines. They do such great stuff. The Deloach family started it. Devin Ruddick is with us from Hook and Ladder. How did this start again? I want to get back into the firefighting aspect, first responders aspect.
So when Cecil started his first winery, he was a career firefighter, and that was really what his ultimate goal was at that time, was to stay in the SFFD, to have kind of a hobby growing vineyard. And obviously the times have changed. He bought 24 and a half acres of Zinfandel in the Russian River Valley in a three bedroom house. And I believe it was right in the $80,000 range for the purchase. So, I mean, it was everything he had at the time, obviously, you know, there was some great timing in there. So, you know, Cecil kept fighting fire as his time as a grower and vintner, started. And by 1982, when he was offered his first retirement package from SFFD, He took it, and that's really where Deloach kind of skyrockets. But the label that we have, Hook and Ladder, it was a conception that he started back, I believe, in late 80s, a port, and it was a Hook and Ladder OFS port. And that was the first variation of this label. And then after selling Deloach in 2003, he retained – we own about 147 acres, and here we are with the full vineyard and winery being this tribute to Cecil's Day's Fighting Fire. So we have a portion of our wine club that's dedicated solely to first responders. And if you come to our property, there's truly a vibe that we try and produce from not only a hospitality standpoint, but even the ambiance with patches and shirts and a little fire truck that hangs out outside of
I've been there. It's cool.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So it's... Okay, Cecil was a firefighter in San Francisco.
Yep.
He sold Deloach, you said, 2003?
Yeah. That's,
and who bought it?
That was bought by the Boisset Collection. So one of...
John Charles Boisset and the Boisset Collection, one of the largest wineries in France.
Wow.
And so John Charles subsequently has acquired other properties throughout California, including Raymond and Buena Vista.
Really?
Fabulous
I wasn't
guy.
Aware of that.
Just wonderful guy.
Yeah. And so the Deloach label continues?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they're great. I still see it everywhere.
They're great neighbors and one of the most visited wineries still in the Russian River Valley and definitely on Olivet Road. So we work with them all the time in the different associations that I'm in. They throw great parties, both industry and for their club, and they're always so gracious in inviting all of their neighbors. So we're lucky to have them as the great neighbors. That
and it's cool that they kept the Deloach name.
And we should have them on as well because he's a fabulous character. He's
Let's
a wonderful
that.
Person and a great community leader.
Yep.
I'm not a community leader. I'm not a fantastic person, but I am entertaining. So
we figured that one out.
Yeah,
a while
so
ago.
We can work that out together. Yeah, let's get him in.
Sure, we will.
All right, we're tasting this Pinot. Lovely stuff.
Just
it's
gorgeous.
A 2016 estate bottled Pinot from Hook and Ladder. Dan, I had to tell Dan, as I sometimes do, save it for the air.
Yeah, I get a little excited.
He was so excited. He was telling Devin all his thoughts about this Pinot, and I kept saying, Dan, save it for the air. So now we're on back on the show.
I'm ready to go.
Go.
The Pinot Noir is a really special grape, and it needs to be done sort of with a focus in mind. So you don't just haphazardly make it. You got to have a style, and you have to hit that style. Jason did really a brilliant job with this because he captured all the fruit, but there's also a little bit of Burgundian characteristics. So there's a little of that forest floor, a little bit of that barky note. Some aging in oak gave it a little bit of the rustic character, but the mid-palate fruit is fabulous, and there's a trace in the aroma. After you swirl it for a bit, you're going to get a little teeny bit of that rose petal component. And to me, this is like the perfect wine because, first of all, in this caliber of wine, you're going to look for a price point of around $40 to $50. This wine is under $30. It's ridiculous. You can't find a wine this good for under $30. I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, we're lucky to have a quality of wine at this price point. It is unheard of these days in the Russian River Valley. And Jason does a great job with all the Pinots. We make upwards of five different expressions of Pinot Noir, whether they be vineyard designate or reserve and barrel selection. But this is our most accessible Pinot in many ways. It's the broad market Pinot. It's out there in store. Should be at Bottle Barn. And definitely outside. If somebody's listening from outside of California, this would be one of the six wines in which we distribute outside of the area.
This wine needs to be decanted. Just put it in the decanter and let it sit there for a couple of hours.
And how long would you lay it down?
I would say that in this case, you're looking for 4 to 6 years.
Wow.
Before it reaches a real peak. Right now, it's just a baby. I would say 4 years minimum before it ever gets to that spot, and then a couple of more before it reaches out and starts to explode. Then at seven, you will notice the development, and if you like that development, hold on to it even further. But at 7 years, it's going to be an absolute slam dunk.
All right, and if you can't wait 7 years like me, just decant it.
Just decant it for a couple of hours. You'll just love this stuff after 2 hours.
Steve, I like that because then you come back and buy more, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
That's your job, dude. That's extra special. HookandLadderWinery.com. Devin, give us a little more background on Jason DeLoach, son of Cecil and Christine, right?
Yeah. So Jason,
and he's the winemaker.
He's the grandson of
the grandson,
Cecil,
of course.
Yes, yeah,
right.
of Cecil, and he is. He's the winemaker. He grew up. I mean, literally grew up in the vineyards, and that's where he came to know a passion for wine and winemaking.
Did he go to like Davis or Fresno?
No, he did not. It's all
he didn't have to. He was right there.
It's all hands on. So in this this era of you know, incredible theory to back it up, Jason was always a hands on learner and has continued on honing his craft in that way. So very much somebody that's still on the cellar floor with the crew and making the wine.
But he also did go to Belletto Winery for a few years to learn some of the detail work of the cellar, and he really picked it up beautifully because these wines are absolutely impeccable. They're clean as a whistle.
Yeah, he's a young man. I mean,
he is. Yeah, a couple years older than me, so you know, not too old, right? I think he's 36. You know, and he took over, as I said, in 2007. He also did some work with Dan Goldfield, another incredible winemaker in the Russian River Valley. So to cut your chops with not only the type of fruit that he was getting to work with, but of course the people and the winemaking styles that have been defined by places the likes of Dutton Goldfield and Belletto.
Yeah, which is important to a young man coming up in the winemaking world. You already talked about this Pinot.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I just love this wine. What I like more than anything else is the fact that there are still producers out there who are so respectful that they can fixate on a wine as good as this and not charge too much. $29 a bottle for this, it's like unbelievable. You don't see wines this good for that low a price anymore.
And you said, Devin, available at Bottle Barn?
Yeah, it should be available. This is one of our you know, kind of six wines that we distribute, one of our flagship wines, number one produced wines, and it's consistent year after year. That's what we were talking off air, not only about the fact that this was such a reasonably priced bottle of wine at this point, but in some ways I think the consistency or even the quality has gotten better over the years, and that's also to a testament to Jason's winemaking and honing in on his own expression of winemaking.
We're looking at a Merlot, and I am a huge Merlot fan. It's one of my favorite red wines, a Pinot and Merlot, and that movie Sideways, be damned. Yeah. Screw you, I'm telling you.
That's
and
delicious.
I love this. It's where's Los Amigos Ranch?
So this is our home estate at Chalk Hill.
Really?
Big part of what we do is coming off of Los Amigos Road right there that runs between, if you're getting off on Arata Lane and into Limerick Lane, some just incredible fruit that's grown up in the foothills of the Mayacamas there. And this Merlot is right there. This has been another wine that I think is really consistent. And that's why I like to bring this, first of all, Steve, I'm not surprised that you have the good taste for Chardonnay and Merlot, two of my favorite varietals, but
right
also that it is fun to pour a great Merlot and to try and change some of the you know, the pop culture perception of a grape that's always been really one of the most prestigious grapes out there. And so this varietal should have never taken the hit that it did, outside of the fact that maybe it was overproduced. This is a beautiful representation of it, where you get the rich fruit, that chocolate and dusty cocoa element, and a lovely terroir-driven note with minerality.
I'm getting the dusty and the chocolate.
Yeah.
I really
it's
am.
Also a very faint leafy component, which you really want out of Merlot because that's what it gives. And you have to have that or else. So some wineries are making pure fruit out of Merlot. That's fine. If you like to drink those, just drink them. But this one's more complex than that. It's got that little leafy note that I would say comes from, I hate to say, like dried tobacco leaves.
Yeah, consistently, this has been this was a in the last Harvest Fair, double gold best of class, gold at the Chronicle. This has always been a great shower as far as Merlot in our area.
This is fabulous wine.
Yeah, I love Merlot.
And what's your price on this?
$29.
Well, there you go.
Jeez. And I have to say, a little lower at Bottle Barn. Because that's what they do, but yeah, nonetheless.
We were talking about that out of fire. They do that.
Yeah. One of my favorite, I got to do a sidebar here. One of my favorite Seinfeld episodes is when George Costanza has to bring his parents to a dinner at his rich girlfriend's parents.
Yes.
And somebody, the mother of the rich girl says, "Would you like any more Merlot?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I like this. What is Merlot? Did they just invent it?" It's a great scene. You got to see it. And then, you know, George is like wetting his pants going, "Oh, my God, no."
So the question always is who's the stupidest one on that show?
Never possible to tell, really. You can't. No.
I think Jerry, because he pals around with those other three people.
That's a good point.
Possible. Yeah. I mean, come on. Kramer? Costanza? Yeah. Give me a break. Probably Elaine is the smartest one.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about that. Okay. So, wow. This is an unique Merlot to me.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about Merlot is that it's actually less tannic than Cabernet Sauvignon is, and they're in the same family. What you get out of Merlot more is the direct upfront fruit, and you don't have the raspy tannins in the finish. My brother can't stand to drink Cabernet. He likes
I'm not
Merlot.
A Cab fan, well, but I'm a big Merlot fan, so it's like the cousin, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Well, oftentimes, too, you'll see, whether it's stated or not, Merlot being utilized in Cabernet Sauvignon to do exactly that, to smooth out some of that edgy tannin,
and
give it still the type of weight richness and show the characteristics of Cabernet that people are expecting, but to make it more drinkable.
But this wine actually will benefit from age, too, because Merlot, as it ages, picks up a little bit more of the dried herb component, and that's fascinating. If you find a bottle of this that's 8 or 9 years old, just put it in the decanter, give it 15 minutes, and you're ready to go. It's fabulous wine. It doesn't need a lot of air, but it needs some.
Mm. And 2014.
A terrific vintage, by the way.
Yeah.
And this has got a lot of weight and structure, in spite of the fact that it's already gotten an extra year or two since it was released. This is really a bonus for the consumer. If you were tasting a 15 or 16 today, it'd be drinkable, but it wouldn't have the depth and the richness of this wine. Right, and now you've got Zinfandel, which is there's the calling card if I ever saw one.
Yeah, we always have to bring some.
I'm sorry,
Zinfandel.
We only have one dump cup today for some reason. And let me, thank you. So we're passing it around so I can dump. There you go.
Okay. It is.
I save that and drink it at home.
There's all this equipment, too. I don't want to spill wine all over it.
At least we know that that's the same appellation.
That'll be the last time we come here.
Thank you.
Now, I got to always bring Zinfandel, especially for somebody like Dan who knows the family's history. This really was the original calling card of the family. As I had mentioned before, Cecil's first purchase of land out here was Old Vine Zinfandel, and he also, was sourcing some early on some vineyard designate Zin that was really unheard of. I mean, late 80s, he had six producers of Old Vine Zin, something that is very commonplace with Pinot Noir, especially now. But at that time, I think people thought he was just crazy. With the Cytone, the Gamboge, the Papera, the Barbieri, these were all really historic Zinfandel vineyards from Russia.
Very, very low producing vines, and this stuff is raspberry concentrate. Oh, this stuff is just, you smell this, and you smell raspberries. This is exactly what Russian River does with Zinfandel. You get raspberries and strawberries, then you have a little bit of sort of a wild spice note of some sort. I can't put my finger on it, but it's just delicious wine.
Yeah, and this, 1973 is when Cecil started farming these grapes. Planted 1909 by Anchise Gamboge, original planted vines, as Dan's saying, very low producing. Can sometimes be, tough to judge as far as uneven ripening, but when you get it right, it can be as expressive of a wine that we make.
The raspberry thing just keeps playing its same single note.
It stays in the middle and the finish.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of raspberry.
One last thing about this Zinfandel, by the way, I don't want to forget. It's not easy to identify aromatics and flavors of wine, but this one comes closest not only to the raspberry, but also, this is an interesting one I just came up with. I didn't realize until just now that this smells a lot like loganberries. And loganberries are hard to find, and when you find them, it smells like this.
Really?
So if you've never tasted a loganberry,
I've always been confused what the hell a loganberry is.
A loganberry is very similar to a blackberry,
okay,
but it has a little bit more raciness in terms of its aromatic. It grows on Whidbey Island up in Washington State. It's you visit Whidbey Island, you go buy fresh loganberries and just eat them until they're gone. They're
really?
Really delicious. But this stuff is just like that. And if you've never tasted a loganberry, here's the Zinfandel to buy, and now you'll know what a loganberry
smells
like.
There you go. I'm digging this. All right, we got 2 minutes left on California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today we're featuring Hook and Ladder. They do such great stuff and great things for the community. Devin Ruddick, great to have you here, man. Great to see you again.
Yeah, thank you. We always appreciate the opportunity to be with you guys. Love the show and what you do for the community. Don't underestimate that. And thanks. We hope to be back soon.
Yes, anytime, folks. Dan, overall thoughts with just a minute and a half left.
I think this is one of the great community resources because I think Hook and Ladder is sort of sometimes thought of as just a small winery, but they do so many different wines and fabulous community outreach, beautiful property, great place to do a picnic, and the wines are sensational and reasonably priced.
Right on. And most of them, a lot of them, available at Bottle Barn.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Who is our sponsor. I have to say that, even though Barry's not here. It used to be, it was Deloach. Cecil and his wife Christine sold Deloach in 03, and then they started Hook and Ladder. And, of course, Cecil was a longtime firefighter in San Francisco, came up here and made history with Deloach, and now Hook and Ladder. Quickly, any events to talk about? Or
well, let's see. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crush time, so we take it easy on events now. But at the end of the month, we'll be out in Dogpatch with Family Winemakers. So that's on our website. We'll also be doing our futures release party for anybody that bought barrel futures September 1st. And then we've also got Taste Route 116's Wine Club Appreciation. That's the weekend before Thanksgiving, one of the best events around.
All right, we'll see you guys before that, and we'll talk more about it. Dan Berger, thank you so much. Have a great night.